This is the Mindset Toolkit Podcast. The continual pursuit of improvement.
How's everybody going? My name is Selwyn, host of the Mindset Toolkit Podcast, and welcome to the inaugural Sunday Arvo Book Reviews episode, where I'll be distilling down the concepts and main points in books over the course of a couple of Sundays, and every Tuesday will remain the Lessons of the Day episode, where I review some of the things that I've learned over the last couple of days. So for the next 3 weeks, I'll be looking at Ego is the Enemy by Ryan Holiday. And this is a fantastic book. I highly recommend everybody reads it, listens to it, absorbs it. I've listened to it twice already, and I'm sure I will listen to this every year. I'll be breaking down the three episodes into the three kind of natural sections that the book has. Week one will focus on aspiration, week two, success, and week three, failure and summaries. So here we go, and I'll get started with week one. The book feels like very much a modern day interpretation of the classic Stoic philosophies from ancient Greece and Rome. It's heavily influenced by those and is really a really good way to frame the way you think about the world. As Domestices said, our virtue begins with understanding and is fulfilled with courage. Basically, Holiday states that we're always constantly in three states, and that's aspiration, success, or failure, and we're only ever cycling between each of these three states. Either we're working towards something, or we've achieved it, or we've failed at it. So let's first off define what ego is. Ego is an unhealthy belief in our own importance, arrogance, self-centered ambition. It's a sense of superiority and certainty that exceeds the bounds of confidence and talent. The first principle is that you must not fool yourself, and you are the easiest one to fool. Our worst enemy lives within us, and it's our ego. It's always the root of our problems because we are always the cause of our problems. Whether it's happiness, success, or failure, ego, kind of the way he frames it, it's akin to alcoholism where one drink is okay, but 20 drinks, you have a problem. And if you're relying on it every day, then that's a very big problem. Ego inhibits true success because it prevents a direct and honest connection with the world around us. Because it makes us so self-centered, it loses that connection we have with true and honest feedback with the world that surrounds us. And to sum up the kind of the three states that we're always in, you want to always be humble in your aspirations, gracious in your success, and determined in your failure. No one is truly successful that has a big ego. Yes, you can name outliers, point out the one of a kinds, but for the most part, people that have an ego that's in check are probably some of the most successful people in this world. Every great journey starts with a new beginning, hence aspiration. To whatever you aspire, ego will always be your constant enemy. It's constantly trained your intellect, for the greatest thing in the greatest compass is a sound body and mind, understanding your abilities and aspiration within these boundaries. So you need to be ready for the next level of aspiration by completely understanding your current role. Where you were once cautious, you can become confident by earning it. Be realistic and stick to your plan. You need modesty of moderation. What is your belief in yourself based on? You're either born with self-confidence or you grow into it as you earn it. Definitely the latter is more fulfilling and surprising. So you want to be self-contained, self-motivated, and you want to always be ruled by principles. You need to remember the basic principles that got you started. Our current society has trained us to be dependent on validation, entitled and ruled by our emotions. How many Instagram likes do we get? How many friends do we have? So building up self-esteem, exclusively inspiring us to think that we can do whatever we want, and this has been taken for granted. You never want to feel like you're entitled to the prestige that you receive, because this prestige is false. It's only because you've worked hard to get there. Once you've worked hard to get there, it won't last, because you need to keep working hard to keep earning it over and over and over again. It's very important for you to have an ability to analyze your own ability. Ego stops us from doing this. Ego inhibits us from seeing ourselves with a little distance. It's so self-centered that all we can see is ourselves from where we stand. Without being able to step back and see ourselves from the outside perspective, we won't be able to grow and improve. For your work to have truth in it, it must come from truth. So you want to always think big, act and live small. Ambition will be iterative. It's only successful if you put one foot in front of the other. Just like you can't cut your lawn one day and expect it to never grow again. Just like anything, aspiration leads to hard work, and that hard work needs to be done every single day, day after day without end. Another big problem that ego leads to is talking. Talk and hype replace hard work, because that is not the reality of ambition. When people are scared by a project, they'll almost always do anything but focus on that project, which is, by definition, procrastination. Because why? Because it's easy to talk about doing great things rather than working on doing great things. It's this work that everyone is scared of. Silence is strength, especially early on in an endeavor. No one talked about being successful before they got successful. Silence is a respite of confidence, and it is strong. Talking and doing fight for the same mental resources. So it takes just the amount of time to think about doing something as it does to do the actual thing. Another problem is that our mind can get confused with visualization and the actual results. When we visualize something, a strong part of it is that our brain can't distinguish between us visualizing it and us doing it. Now that is a double-edged sword, because we can visualize it to boost our ambition to do it, but then if we let that take up too much time, we're not going to do anything because our brain has thought we've done it. Success requires 100% of our efforts, and talk takes away from this, whether it be 1, 2, 10, 20, 50% of this. Talking is a way for us to break away from the work that we actually have to do. So you're taking the break of talk, or are you facing the challenge head on? Leading us to the question of, are you being or are you doing? Be careful if you want to be somebody or you want to do something. There's two different definitions. When you want to be somebody, that's a completely selfish mindset. When you want to do something, that's a selfless mindset. If we're not careful, we can be corrupted by the very job we wished to serve in the first place. Reality will soon intrude on our youthful ambitions and ideals of success. It's the competition of incentives and recognition. Never fall in love with the image of success, because one can only be successful by doing hard work. If you're in love with the image of success, you won't actually do the hard work to get there. Having authority is different to being in authority. The same way that you can't climb to the top of Everest without climbing to the top of Everest. You won't ever hit that peak without doing the work to get to that peak. And it's this ego that crosses out what matters and replaces it with things that don't. It all comes down to purpose. So what you have to ask yourself, what are you here to do? If your purpose is to do something larger than you, to accomplish something, to prove yourself for something, everything is easier because it highlights what's important and makes choices on what to do is simple. It becomes about the doing and not the recognition. You have to ask yourself, what calling does it serve? Because all choices come at a cost. The egocentric path requires many compromises. Do I need this, or is the prize about ego? Ego also gets in the way of us constantly learning. You always want to be a student, never be the smartest person in a room. Because once you stop learning, you stop achieving things of greatness. You need to remember that you need to learn what you don't know. And you always have to keep your ego in check, so that you're always willing to endure instructions from mentors. When your ego kicks in, it'll tell you that you know everything, that you're the greatest, that you don't need to keep struggling. You need to keep fighting, to keep learning. You don't want to have an ego to think that learning from someone is beneath you, no matter how experienced or wise or old you think you are. You can always learn from other people. By being a student, it puts the ego in check because you are subservient to your master, the teacher. The pretense of knowledge is a dangerous vice because it ignores our shortcomings. To combat this ego, you need to use your humility as a tool and accept that others know more than you, and that you can benefit from their knowledge and knock down illusions you have about yourself. We must become our own teachers, tutors, and critics, because once you reach your goal, never rest on your laurels. A true student is like a sponge, absorbing everything you can, self-critical and self-motivating. You are your own teacher and you are your own critic. You need to relentlessly look at areas of improvement. It's a constant process. You can't get better if you think you're the best. Labor to seek out the negative when everyone tells you that you're doing great. Why? Because this will push you to become better. You need to become the best, in quotation marks, by believing you're the best. You became the best by putting in the work because you knew you weren't the best. Today, education is easier than it has ever been. It's free to go out and learn how to do whatever you want. YouTube, the internet, just talking to people. Just like the ancient proverb says, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Another problem that ego causes is to lead us to have great passion. Now, this seems to be counterintuitive to what a lot of people will tell you to do. But this chapter kind of holds its own. So your passion might be the very thing that's holding you back. And you can always fail with all the passion in the world. You want to have purpose, direction, and reasons. These three things are far better than passion to drive you. The other problem with passion is that it's an extra burden on yourself. You're thinking about how passionate you are. You're wasting energy being passionate, whereas you could have purpose, direction, and reason to drive you forward. You only hear about passion of successful people, but often forget that failure had the same trait. How often were there passionate failures? It ignores the possible dangers, not with malice, but there's a drunken of passion, since it masks weaknesses, and it is also a poor substitute for discipline, purpose, strength, and mastery of a subject. How often people say, I'm passionate about this project, but you know that they're not very skilled at doing that thing. So if you can't progress on your goals, then you aren't really achieving anything, even if you're just being passionate. Passionate has boundaries. You want purpose, because you want to de-emphasize the I, and you want to pursue something outside of yourself. You want to have realism, detachment, and perspective, because what you do right now, is it moving us forward, and what are our benchmarks? Passion is form over function. Do you want to have function, or do you want to look good doing it? And you must ask yourself, what must you do, not what you care about and wish to be? It goes back to that, are you doing something or being somebody? The next chapter is called Follow the Canvas Strategy. So ego will stop you from coming to terms with the situation you're in and take advantage of the situation that you find yourself complaining about. Ego will make people feel underappreciated and stop them from being able to do the hard work or the learning that's part of their journey because they feel it is beneath them. It also creates an inability to meet anybody on their terms because it's the indignity of serving somebody else. Ego would prefer that no one has anything rather than from someone else to have something that you don't. To combat this, you must follow the canvas strategy. So you want to make other people look good and serve other people, and that will serve you well. Like Zig Ziglar said, help enough people, and that is a true way to success. So you want to find canvases for other people to paint on, clear the path for those above you, and you'll eventually clear the path for yourself. And you need to remember these three points. Number one, you're not nearly as good or important as you think you are. Number two, you have an attitude that needs to be readjusted. And number three, most of what you learn in school is out of date or wrong. So remember, the greatness comes from grunt work, saying little and doing a lot. Every great started from humble beginnings. What it means is that you should be the least important person in the room until you change that through results, through hard work. And this is long-term versus short-term. Forget short-term gratification and work towards your long-term strategy. The more people you help, the more you'll help yourself. And what's cool about this is it brings us back to the old pioneer days, because the person who clears a path for others is the one who controls the direction of the path. So you can control where you go by clearing a way for everybody else. And this is a life-changing mentality to have. Service before yourself. And to combat ego again, you must learn to restrain yourself. Because no matter what you're trying to achieve, big or small, circumstances, whether by design or accident, are going to come up that will sabotage or hinder your progress. It is your job to remain restrained and not become emotional for vengeance and continue through to the ultimate goal. Ego is giving in to the impulses that make you want to fight back. It doesn't degrade you when people slight you. It's more of a mark on them. The up and coming must endure the abuse of the entrenched. So, what does this mean? Basically, how much energy do you spend on getting revenge on somebody else? That energy could be used on bettering yourself, because when you seek vengeance, you're only ever stooping down to the lows of that other person, and you've ultimately wasted a lot of your time and energy. When people make fun of you, it's saying more about them than it is about you. And finally, when you're in the trenches, when you're working hard to get somewhere, you're always trying to overthrow King of the Hill, as it were. and you must endure their ego, as it were, in order to get to their spot, because you realistically don't deserve any praise because you're not number one yet. You need to learn to get out of your head. By thinking, you're living in fiction and not taking action in reality. Thinking isolates you from action and induces more unproductive thinking. Constantly thinking about yourself grows your ego more, and more without any check and balance of reality. Your right ear will talk about how good you are, your left ear will talk about how bad you are, and this overthinking abstracts reality, and then you don't know actually how good you are or how bad you are. Ego doesn't equal confidence. It can rob you of the ability to think you have to act, because after enough time, you forget where the line is between reality and your own actual story, what's real and what's fiction. When we're in our heads too much, we think about the world in that it revolves around us. When it doesn't, we need to rein in our preconceptions and remember that we're just a small part of the world. And there is the danger of early pride. Pride convinces people to believe that they are better than they are. Pride takes a minor accomplishment and turns it great. Pride stops our brain from being flexible to learn, make connections, and do hard work. Pride can overcompensate and make you delusional. We should always be striving for something better, and pride blunts this drive, because you begin to believe that you're better than you actually are, or that you're better than others, which means you're not going to put in the work to be actually better. And the solution to this is to work, work, and work some more. The hard thing isn't dreaming big, but it's putting in the hard work to get to that dream. There is no end zone for greatness. Just remember, it's a continual journey. And nobody, no matter how great they are, never really achieves true greatness, because they can always be better. The work may or may not go anywhere and will be unpleasant. But remember, it's about doing the work. It's not about the materials, but the workmanship. It's our brain, our body, and our work. Greatness is made by our sweat and our toil. You can't get progress without hard action. And what is truly ambitious in life is to pursue life despite the distractions. Cheating feeds the ego. And can you be the best you can be without any crutches? So that's all I have for today. Part one of this three-part series focusing on Ego is the Enemy, written by Ryan Holiday. I highly recommend this book. The next two parts are going to be even better than this, because it's going to talk about success and failure, which are great things to try and combat for the ego. So if you haven't been convinced already, I highly recommend to go out and download the Audible. You can find a link in the show notes, or go out to Amazon and buy the book or any other bookstore. But definitely find this book, read it, learn from it, absorb it, and use it. This has been Selwyn on the Mindset Toolkit podcast, and thanks for your time. And remember, what you learn today will serve you tomorrow. So go out and go get it.